time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone, and it is a good Tuesday afternoon if you're a camel out in the Sahara. It's a very comfortable day.
We haven't had any rain in August. None, not one drop. Not one drop of rain.
Yep.
And first, here I am.
Yep.
You know, I garden as a hobby.
Yes, yeah.
And not one lousy drop of rain. So
So you're out there watering every single day.
Well, the thing is, I live in Green, and we don't have
city water.
Yeah, well water, but being raised a city boy, I have no idea how much water is in that well. I mean, how do you know it?
Well, you're by a lake, so it can't
be
too,
I understand
right?
that, and I've been told we have a high water table, but I don't know what that means either. So what's that, you know?
It means there's a lot of water down
lot
there.
A lot of water.
A whole lot of water. See, my parents still down in the bottom of a hollow, and there's a lake-ish type area over there, so they have a lot of water, too.
So they drill. What happens if you get gas instead of water, like oil? How do they know where?
Then you'd be like Jed Clampett and move to California.
Oh, that was a great series. I love that show. They're all passed away, I believe, except for Max Baer Jr.
Yeah. Jethro Boone.
From what I understand, you know that's age. They were canceled or stopped before I was even born.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, but
you say so. So, good thing your clone was around.
Well, the clone were the same. He just ages faster.
Mm-hmm.
Because clones age faster than the clonee. So anyway, but he looks much older, so he can go to people and talk about the old things. And he looks at YouTube. He does a lot of history things like that. I have to send you a picture of him.
You've never done it yet.
No. Anyway, the Beverly Hillbillies. I don't know who my favorite was on that show when watching.
Mine was Ellie Mae Clampett.
Well, it should have been.
Growing up.
Oh, yeah. I had, even though they were all reruns, I had a crush on her.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a crush on Gilligan's Island, Marianne. And the other one, too.
Ginger, yeah.
I don't know if they're still with us either.
Ginger is the only one that's left.
Marianne's gone.
She died of COVID, actually.
Oh.
It was after the big COVID part, but she did pass away from COVID about 2.5 years ago now.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
So.
But she still keeps active on Facebook. So that's a good
thing. Does she?
Yeah.
Does she?
Actually, I think people are actually doing it for her as far as I know.
Well, how do you know? I mean, she's probably up there, right?
Yeah.
Well, your age?
Oh, yeah. Well, she's probably a few years.
90s?
A few years older.
Oh, she was a very attractive woman. It's amazing how she kept fresh in new outfits on a 3-hour cruise. Yeah. And you know, normally.
I mean, Ginger only had one outfit, you know, that was that one dress.
Oh, didn't she have more than that?
She ended up with more, but yeah, maybe she took Marianne's, I don't know.
Well, Marianne only had the one outfit, but it seems like the other ones.
They all had the same problem. Barbara Eden had it, and that they were not allowed to show their belly button. They were not allowed to show. So she was wearing shorts and a tie-off shirt many times, but had to have something hanging down over there to cover the belly button because that couldn't get you past the sensors.
Really?
Yep.
Boy, you old folks had some strange rules.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be a family show.
But the navels was considered. They had bikinis back then, didn't they?
They did, but not in TV shows like that. Yeah.
Could a guy show his navel?
A guy could be with his shirt off, so I would imagine he could. But see, that's not supposed to be as exciting.
I see. Well, but the professor's gone.
Professor's gone, yes.
And I know
Gilligan's gone. Alan Hale Jr. is gone. Yeah. And
Jim Backus
is gone.
And Jim Backus' wife.
And yeah, Natalie Schaefer, she's gone. Yeah.
You didn't even know her name. Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah. And Marianne's gone.
Yep.
But Ginger, who? Tina Louise?
Tina Louise, yeah. She's the only one still alive.
Yeah, and she's on Facebook.
No. It's Marianne. It's Dawn Wells that's still on Facebook. And she's dead.
Wait a minute. Mary.
Dawn Wells is still on Facebook, yeah.
And she's dead?
Yeah.
Well, how can she still be on Facebook?
I think people are helping her.
Okay. Well, I would think so. She's dead.
Yeah.
Well, Ginger's dead.
No. Ginger's still alive.
Tina Louise.
I don't think Tina Louise does Facebook.
Oh, okay. Well, you confuse me, which
I'm
is
sorry.
Easy for me.
I apologize for that. Sorry. Well, you just came out of the hot sun playing those two ball games.
Oh, baked out there. Baked. And especially in the first part, when the sun comes up and it hits that dew on the grass, and just the humidity just gets you. And when it burns off, it actually a little bit better as the day goes
okay.
on. Yeah, so... But we survived.
So the first game is worse than the second game. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
In a way, yeah.
Interesting.
Is?
It is, yes.
So, anyway, what do you want to start off with this week?
Well, I'm not sure. Did you have something you want to start off with? Why don't we start off with Guardians? Good news again.
Boy, you know what? When they had that 10-game losing streak, You pretty much
counted them out.
I had them buried and gone. And
now they've won their last 21 out of 28 games?
Something like that. They won 5 out of the last 6 away games. And they lost to Chicago yesterday.
They've won every series. They swept the Mets.
Which was very impressive.
Yes, I thought so.
And I also felt with the loss of Class A that we'd be in a heap of trouble. Heap, I tell you.
Yeah.
But... Cade Smith has done a good job, and Hunter Gastis is not as good as he was last year. But relief pitchers, they're very, very
year by year. It seems like they can,
yes. And
there are bad habits they sometimes fall into. I think.
Yeah, and so Stephen Vogt has done a heck of a job.
Yes,
heck of a job since. Yeah. And he never got down on his team during the 10 games.
He did not.
And what's impressive too, here lately is that their two best players, Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan have had bad 3 or 4 days. I mean, Stephen Kwan sounded like the 278 batting average, and he's just having a difficult time. And isn't it amazing? It's just human beings do have
but they
ups
could
and
have some help sometimes. Okay, this came out Saturday from Friday. It said, fascinating statistic made rounds on social media Friday comes off with a telling graphic. Kwan has had more strikes called on him on pitches off the plate away than any other left-handed batter since 2022. And it's a wide margin. Kwan at 149 such calls, and the next closest player is 88. So here it is. Here's the list here. Stephen Kwan, 149. Alex Bregdo, 88. Bryson Stott, 84. Kyle Schwarber, 83. Mike Yastrzemski. Is there any relation to...
You know, I think there is, but I'm not...
82. And Luis Arraez, 81.
Now, what is this again? What... are they citing?
They say Stephen Kwan with robot umps will be crazy.
He gets the benefit of the...
No, it means he's not getting the benefit of the doubt.
So with the robot coming, he could be much better?
He would be much better than what
okay,
he is.
Okay, all right. I don't know whether it's because of his stance, why he's... So he's being called for strikes more often than anybody else.
Even though he's not... really striking out, but it forces him to swing at some pitches he might not have.
Yeah.
He says it's pretty wild to look at. There are a lot of factors here, of course. The batter that takes more pitches in general will have more strikes called against them. And he takes a lot of pitches because
he
bats a lot of them off. But again, a foul ball after two isn't a strike.
No, it's not.
Okay, so that kind of takes away cut out of it. Every strike in an at-bat is a key leverage point in favor of the pitcher. This statistic goes back to the year that Kwan broke into majors, and in four seasons he's spent in the MLB, Kwan is a 285 hitter with only two fewer walks than strikeouts. So he clearly hasn't been doomed by these calls, but those stats would probably be even a bit better if the pitches away off the plate were always called as such to Kwan.
So well, I know just watching him, he does, especially when he gets to two strikes, he can foul off two, three, four. It drives pitchers crazy.
He can have one pitcher throw 20 pitches to him.
That's upsetting to the pitching, and that's a credit to him.
Right.
Because if the pitchers have pitch count.
If they come in there and he gets waste 20 pitches on Stephen Kwan, whether he gets out or on base, that's 20 pitches already taken away.
That's a huge, huge benefit for him.
Plus, the pitcher's frustrated by that point.
Yeah.
Okay, the statistic, let's see. Maybe when the robot umpires come, Kwan will lift his batting average and on-base percentage even higher. That'd be a nice reward for all his hard work to succeed in the current umpiring setup. So they're blaming the umpires on this.
Well, you know what? The robots, or what they call automatic balls and strikes, ABS,
yes,
will not call all the pitches.
It tracks all the pitches, doesn't it?
It tracks them, but the umpire still calls balls and strikes.
Right, and if there's a question or a challenge, then they revert to the robot.
Yeah, but you only can do that so many times.
You can, right.
So it's not like they're calling every ball and every strike. I mean, so if a ball player, a hitter, thinks it's an egregious call, he can ask. I don't know how many times they can ask, because if they ask all the time, it's going to slow the game down there. But
it's almost, the thing is, it's almost, they used it in the All-Star game, it's almost instantaneous. Oh, if there's a challenge on it, it's almost instantaneous. And there were like four or five challenges during the All-Star game between both sides.
Yeah.
And almost every time it went with the batter, not with the pitcher. So, because it usually was called,
it was called a strike when
it was actually a ball.
So the pitcher can ask for,
the pitcher can ask for it, the catcher can ask for it, the batter can ask for it, and I think even the manager can ask for it.
All right.
So I think there were like five challenges during the All-Star game. In a game that didn't really mean anything, so it was interesting to see it used there.
Well, you know, how much more automation or technology is going to be implemented in baseball games? I mean, is it really taking away the human factor? I guess you still got to swing the ball and hit the ball and things like that. And some umpires are better balls and strike.
Yes,
they are. Umpires, and that was a discussion years ago, that umpires would specialize in a base or a plate. In other words, if you got a great ball and strike umpire,
you put him behind the plate.
But that's a tough job.
And I would say, you know, actually the first base ump is a tough job too, because there are so many close plays at first base with the ball being thrown to him and the batter running it out.
Yeah.
It is so close. And almost every replay I've seen proves that the official was right. The umpire was right.
Well, you have 50-50 chance.
Right. But I mean,
they are amazing. I think,
because you're watching two separate things at the same time. Yeah. The ball coming, when the ball is caught, and when that foot hits there, all at the same time. I think that's actually amazing.
Yeah, and they're probably of all the officiating of major sports.
Yes.
They say baseball officiating is the best of all of them.
I would agree.
And I don't know.
Because I've sure seen some bad calls in basketball, and we both have seen plenty of bad calls in football. And I don't know about hockey, but, you know.
Hockey. Well, since we're talking about officiating.
Yes.
You know, there was history made.
Okay. You keep teasing me and you didn't tell me what the history was.
Well, first of all, anybody who has not lived in a cave should know this.
Okay. Well, I was in my man cave a lot of the weekend, so. Actually, I wasn't. I spent Saturday out at the Rocket Fest where I was doing video at the Rocket Fest. It was a celebration of the old engines, the old automobile engines the old Oldsmobile rocket engines. And
who would have a festival for that?
A guy that loves the seas, but he's done it for 26 years.
So all they
he passed away, and this was a tribute show to him, Frank.
Okay. Graf. Frank Graf.
With one F. Yeah.
One F. And
and so his sister helped to make sure Mike Mason.
What was his sister?
His sister Angel was trying
Angel
to.
Graf. Try,
no, Angel well, she's Graf. Married, somebody so it's Angel. Not her. Last name now. But yeah.
So they have a bunch of engines you just go look
no,
at?
No, people bring their old, their 50s and 60s Oldsmobiles, and they park them out as a like they do the hot rod shows and, yeah. and things like that. It was the last one I've been involved about the last 7 or 8 years myself, doing video and interviewing and things like
oh,
that.
Oh, okay.
And so I was there again. This is the last one, and I did
this
the same
is the last,
favor to Mike
Mason. This is the
Mason.
Last one?
Well, yeah, he passed. This was a tribute to him.
Well, I thought maybe they'll continue.
Well, a lot of people were saying that, but I don't think it will. It's a
Wasn't
lot of
there an Olds 88?
Yes.
And Olds 98?
Yes. Those are two different engines.
And he didn't live to be 88 or 98?
He was in his 80s, yeah. He was...
They were neat cars. I mean, the last one I'm aware of is the Oldsmobile Aurora, which was a nice car.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Olds and Pontiac or Saturns
yes.
and some of the other cars are
shall we say discontinued?
Discontinued. No, they're gone. Well,
it was interesting. There were even a couple of Oldsmobile station wagons there.
Oh, really?
That was interesting to see.
Oh.
Because you don't think of station wagon when you think of these, and most of them are from the 50s. The old
well, I remember Oldsmobiles. I mean, and Chevy had
yes.
some station wagons. Do they even make station wagons?
No.
They're all SUVs.
No, the SUV, well, the minivan, the van turned to a minivan, which took over the SUVs, and then the, I'm sorry, which took over the station wagon, then the SUV took over the minivan. So,
oh, I have a minivan.
Do you?
I love my minivan.
Yeah,
it's a Chrysler Pacifica.
I have a mini car. You know,
a mini car.
It's not big.
Okay,
not
well,
big at all.
Okay, so you were, but this news was happening even before the.
Well, I'm just saying I was out there all day. Then I got home to just in time to do my 2-hour podcast.
And you were delirious of the heat.
You know what? I was ready to be in air conditioning. I was.
Jen Powell became the first.
Oh yeah, the
first major league woman umpire
yes.
to officiate a regular a season
major league game. Yeah.
Yep. History was made.
I did see that. I didn't.
Oh, why didn't you say it?
But I had forgotten. It was a rough weekend, man.
Oh, I tell
then
you.
Then I worked yesterday. Man. Then I went out and had to buy a washing machine and
oh,
had to go
did?
Do some laundry. Yeah, we kind of lost our washing machine. And
where'd it go?
It
I
went,
mean, do you take your
went,
washing machine with
it
you?
It went to the washing machine heaven is where it is.
It's hard to lose your washing machine. It usually stays in one place.
Yeah. No, not the ones we have.
So they walked around.
Walk. Yeah, you know.
Isn't it amazing? Everything comes in threes. It seems like, you know, okay, your washer goes. And it's like, who was it? George Carlin who says the washer and dryer are like two married, old married. One goes, the other goes quickly after.
Well, we're replacing it with another Maytag, so it won't be lonely too long.
Oh, okay.
It'll be here Wednesday. And so I know the dryer's a little bit lonely right now. It's also a Maytag. But it will be replaced with a much younger model. So I know that the dryer will be kind of whistling at the
well, I don't
washer.
Know. I hope you're right. Those things are expensive anymore. I
mean, they are, but you can get them a lot more expensive than what we got. She wanted as few bells and whistles she got. She got all dials. And it's hard to find a machine with all dials anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
Because this one had a computer sensor board which ran everything, and we've literally had trouble with this thing for years. Now, I reset it the other night, but it still isn't working properly. So there's something else beyond just the computer. Because I did reset the computer in it, and it worked better, but it didn't work good enough to get, you know.
Well, you should get her a washboard, and you tell her to go up in the bathroom and the washboard.
Yeah, give her some of Granny's lye soap. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
And use a washboard in the bathtub.
And where am I living tomorrow?
Not
out in the garage with a garage cat? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like air conditioning. Okay?
Oh, all right.
I don't have the garage isn't air conditioning.
Yeah. So yes, Jen Powell. I think that's her name. Pawal, and she became the first. This and they're way behind baseball with other major professional sports. I mean,
no, football's had it for.
Well, I can tell you, at least 10 years.
10 years. Sarah, I didn't realize it was 10, but yeah.
Sarah
yes.
Thomas mm-hmm. was, I think, a line judge.
She was the groundbreaker, yes.
Line judge, and now there's several. And then Violet Palmer has been 30-some years ago was the first NBA
okay.
A woman official. Now, there's not a lot, but there, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 of them.
And there's quite a few. In the WNBA, they're not. There are yeah. men there too, but there are also quite a
few
women.
Well, that's how they, you know, between college and WNBA, how they. I mean, I imagine it's very, very competitive.
Too, oh, I would say so.
Especially baseball. She's this Jen has Powell has been a minor league baseball umpire for over 10 years. Has done 1,500 minor league games.
Wow.
So.
Good for her.
Good for her. I mean,
absolutely.
And I don't know. There's no National Hockey League, female right. officiating. That's a tough sport. I don't
it
know.
It is.
I,
yeah.
But, good for her. Now she's filling in.
Well, and we're finding more female broadcasters getting into the game stuff. I think I was on. But the stuff I get, I don't always get to see the Guardians channel, but I get to see the game.
Yes.
And so I'm seeing like the Chicago, I was watching Chicago game, and the post game was done by two women. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there's a woman that, and there's, I heard some women play by play now, and I think it is becoming finally a little bit more open to there. And there is the one gal that, and the ESPN that broke through as well, that, well for the NFL.
And I don't want to sound.
I think you're about to. I think you're about to. Do you want to say this?
No.
Okay.
Never mind.
Women can be just as knowledgeable about the game as guys who
I'm
never
not,
played.
No. I'm not.
Okay. That's not where you were going.
No.
Okay.
Well, no. No, I'm glad they can do it. If they all want, you know, every sports broadcaster is a woman, that's fine. But my preference is a male voice. And I apologize, but that's my preference.
Yeah.
I have nothing against. I'm trying to be as diplomatic as I can here.
I understand it. And I don't have those same feelings. As long as the person is truly knowledgeable about the game, I don't care who's calling it. Because I've heard some really bad male broadcasters. You have too over the years.
Yeah, but you got Tom Hamilton.
Well, I'm never going to compare one to Tom Hamilton.
Well, why not?
Because he is in the Hall of Fame.
Well, okay.
Wing, yeah.
I just, it's my preference. Would I turn a game off if there's a woman broadcast? No. No, I just have a preference. It doesn't make me a bad person. Does
no,
it?
It does not.
No,
I had a buddy when he was dying, and we were watching a lot of Browns games. Such and he had the gal there officiating. He was just so upset about that. I said, "Dave, it's a thing. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as she does her job right, what do you care?"
I don't care. I just have a preference.
No, I understand it for broadcasting. I understand. And broadcasting is a little different than the officiating. Again, but as long as they're knowledgeable, I personally don't care.
Oh, okay.
Personally.
Okay. So.
And I don't have that. Now, I don't want them taking over Tom's job. That's a different matter.
No, I said,
That's a different matter.
You're right, but I just, that's my preference.
Right. There's nothing bad with that.
I don't want them to be prohibited from.
Like I have preference of not eating broccoli. Does that make me a bad person?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so see? Same thing. Broccoli and women broadcasters.
Yeah, I wish we had a woman president. I wish we had more women governing things. I think they're more compassionate and understanding. Most of them.
Most of them.
I mean, we have some ones that
as long as it isn't Kelly Clarkson or, yeah.
Well, anyway, doctors, I mean, more and more, I think almost half of the doctors graduating from medical school now are women. Certainly more than that for lawyers. So they, and kudos to them. In Summit County, every judge is a woman. Every judge. And up until recently, every office holder, Sherry Bevan Walsh, I believe her was, when she
was the prosecutor.
Yeah, she retired, mm-hmm. and then
our county treasurer is still a woman.
Yeah. Well, we don't have a treasurer.
The county?
Do you have a fiscal office.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
From the treasury office, something like that. She's a fiscal officer.
Fiscal office.
From the treasury.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're only one of two counties that have a charter system of government in the county. So everyone, the sheriff, I stand corrected because the county engineer is a guy. Mm-hmm. But we're, the county executive, I think there's a plurality of or majority of the council that is. So, and I think Summit County has run very well. And it seems like the judges do a good job too. So it's just when that narrow thing.
Got to know Judge Jane Bond a little bit, retired judge. Oh. She's with the senior acting group. And she doesn't act, but she is kind of like a producer and helps push things.
Oh, okay.
And so.
Excellent judge. Everybody thought she was terrific.
Yes. And she's a good person, too.
Was she
getting to know her a little bit.
Was she related to James?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I just wondered. Curious. So yes, talking about officiating, it was a historic weekend as far as. I can't imagine, as a man, we've had the advantage, in a lot of different things.
Yep.
So being a male umpire, breaking in is no big deal. The pressure on her to
be correct.
Everything she does will be under a microscope.
Absolutely.
And,
but isn't that true for every person that breaks a barrier?
Oh, like absolutely. That? Absolutely.
It was for Larry Doby. It was for, Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was for Sarah in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, anybody that breaks through a barrier is going to be overwatched to see them screw up.
And I guess she did call balls and strikes on the game against the Miami and Atlanta, and she did a very good job, according to the players themselves. But did she miss? Oh, look at her. She missed that. Well, look at the guys that missed that, right?
Yeah.
So, good for her.
Yeah.
Absolutely good for her.
I think it was a good thing because they used to have National League and American League umpiring school. And their strike zones were a little different, even though they were playing in different leagues. Finally, it's one umpiring school. They all learn the exact same way.
Yeah.
Which is far better for the game.
Yeah, it used to be. Well, there was a lot of things that happened, labor contract-wise and stuff like that. They did finally merge, because from what I understand, because, I'm not that old, the American League umpires had the open chest protector, right?
Yeah.
And they had it.
Had to hold it, yeah.
Yeah. And the National League had the internal chest protector. That was kind of the biggest difference. Of course, for many, many years, the American League had the designated hitter.
But also the way they called their balls and strikes was slightly different between the two leagues.
Yeah. And then I remember in All-Star Games World Series, there was a mix of the National League umpires. But that all changed, and I guess that's for the better. I don't know.
I think it is, yeah.
But
we're all playing the same game now.
Yeah.
So let's play the same game.
Which is good. I just don't know how much more technology they're going to introduce. If they're only going to use it, for example, there was a, Gavin Williams almost pitched a no-hitter
yes.
the other day yeah. against yeah. Against New York, the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
He gets two outs and he hit and guy gets a home run.
Yeah,
and I didn't get to see it, but it was almost caught by the center fielder, yeah. Angel Martinez, and he must have been heartbroken. But the next hitter, it was a 3-2 count, and it should have been a strikeout. It was within a
yeah,
and the guy should have called. It was too close for a batter to take. Probably would have been upheld by the automatic balls and strikes, but come on. And we've seen egregious calls by
yes.
male umpires against that Galarraga about 10, 15 years ago when,
yeah.
when Jim Joyce missed the perfect game.
For yes.
He can never get that back. I mean, so.
That's a once in a career chance.
Well, and shortly after that, he was out of baseball.
Yep.
So everything has to click. I mean, everything. I mean, players making spectacular catches and so on and so forth. But getting back to the Guardians, yes, they are playing excellent ball. Even though Ramirez and Kwan right now are kind of in a slump, you got Kyle Manzardo hitting
the ball. He had two home runs.
Yeah.
We still lost. But
we still lost.
Yeah. But we still won the series.
Two out of three. When you're away, that's great.
We had six game away, and we won five of the six.
Five out of six, and that's pretty darn good. We're only
half a game
out of the last wild card
which
spot.
Is where the Yankees are sitting.
The
right
Yankees,
now.
Yeah.
But they've gone through a nosedive.
They have. Good for them.
Absolutely. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of their players make more than the whole Guardians team
yes.
combined.
Yes. And one of them sitting on the bench right now, yeah. injured.
Yeah. And then there's six games, but we still have 7 weeks left of the season.
Yes.
Detroit's not playing great. So there is, six games is not an overwhelming.
Insurmountable, enough. But we are now in the second week in August.
We are?
We are.
Oh,
yes. And therefore, you got to, well, they have to keep doing what they're doing.
Yes, and they got a big series against the Marlins and the Braves coming up at home. So they got to almost win two out of every three games in order to stay in contention for the division playoff,
yeah.
and probably 600 baseballs to stay in contention for the wild card. But they're in it. I mean, after the disastrous end game,
those 10 losses in a row, you.
They were 15 and a half games out of first place after that 10-game yeah. losing streak. And now they're within six, and they were way behind in the wild card. And
Detroit struggled since the All-Star break.
Yeah, Skubal even has had some other star pitchers had some difficulty. You get Kwan, and Kwan will snap out of it.
He will. As will Ramirez. He's not going to stay down long.
No. I mean, they'll get there.
They're just too consistent of players and leaders.
I don't know what's happened to Carlos Santana. They brought up this C.J. Cephas kid, and he's done a pretty good job. I don't know if Carlos is – they're just – I don't know what they're doing with Carlos Santana.
Well, he was in defensively at first base because I think they kind of – missed a couple balls thrown his way he didn't get. And so I'm thinking, what was it, Saturday's game? They brought him in.
But he's not starting.
He's not starting.
So have they basically benched him? I don't know. I haven't read anything about this.
Maybe
they're just giving him a break heading into – because they did put him out in right field, Cephas kid, And we'll see. Rocchio is learning second base. He's done a pretty darn good job.
Yeah.
Arias has done a good job. Ramirez is a gold glover.
Yeah.
It seems like they have stabilized their lineup, except for right field. I mean, right field still's a question mark.
But how long has right field been a question mark on this team?
For a long time. There's been big Christmas.
Does Manny Ramirez?
Yeah, big Christmas. Oscar Gonzalez, who's not even in baseball now, I don't think. The guy with the SpongeBob SquarePants song, walk-up song.
Yeah.
And it just seems they can't – Nolan Jones has certainly not been that impressive. But they seem to have settled in on either Santana or Kafis or Manzardo at first.
Mm-hmm.
Kafis can play right field. Rocho's done a good job. I think he's there for the duration of the season at second.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Gabriel Arias, who's done a – I mean, he's not batting fantastically, but he's at short, and he's a very good shortstop.
Yes, he is.
He's got an arm that's just a rocket. You got, you know, a Hall of Famer at third base in Ramirez. You got two catchers defensively that aren't bad, but horrific hitting-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Kwan is one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Angel Martinez, who is your center fielder. So you got, and there's Schneeman and other guys to fill in from time to time. David Fry is having, he's your a designated hitter when there's a lefty pitching, but he's not hitting more. Of course, he came off of Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
He's not a pitcher, but we'll see what happens. And they got Lane Thomas, who's still harnessing plantar fasciitis. So we'll see. We'll see. So far, I think Stephen Vogt has done a good job in getting these guys in from time to time to stay fresh.
To stay fresh and to give other guys a break.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's what Carlos, he needed a break. I mean, he's 39.
Yeah.
And, you know, not being that far away from 39 myself.
You understand that.
Yes. It's a young man's game.
Yeah.
You know, he's competing with people 15, 16 years younger than he is. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
But he still plays, he's a gold glove first baseman. Came up as a catcher.
Did he?
With the old Indians.
Didn't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good for the Guardians. They're making the season interesting.
Yeah.
At the very least, these games mean something. They're not like Colorado or the White Sox that are just.
Was listening to Hammy on the pregame, I think it was yesterday, and was talking about what are you guys doing differently that you've done this. He said nothing. We're playing the same way we did when we had the 10-game lose streak, except that it's just the balls are falling where they weren't falling before. We're hitting them where they're not necessarily they're we're getting base hits where we weren't before.
Well, I think it has to be something more than that. Like I said, we went to a game that they were completely lifeless.
But that was during that 10-game streak, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but what changed? I mean, something did change. I'm disagreeing with votes. Something did change.
Okay.
And I can't pinpoint it, but somehow they came out of the funk.
What I heard is that somebody else pointed out that it was that Ramirez came out of out of a slump. And that brought the rest of the team up.
Well, he's the team leader.
Good hitting begets good hitting.
Yes.
And good pitching begets good pitching.
In Spanish, he probably.
Yeah.
Well, he knows English. He just doesn't. He prefers not to publicly speak
it. Because he doesn't want to be embarrassed by his accent.
English
or
is a tough language to learn. I mean,
because half our words don't make any sense.
Sense can be like pennies. It can mean. I've been told that by many people from my travels that it's a difficult language. There's a lot of words that mean several different things.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he gets his point across to the players in that clubhouse. And you start getting chewed out either in English or Spanish by Jose Ramirez. Messed up somehow.
You know, you're done wrong, yes.
Yeah, and you don't want to because here's a guy that – it's just he gives 100% everything he does.
Yep. And they were showing during it must have been against maybe it was when against one of the earlier games in the White Sox the Ramirez knocking out the they showed that and heard how many and he's down down.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah.
That was really the guy was. Lip-syncing Tom Hamilton. Did you see that one?
No.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was, and he was going, I think I got it and I'll send it to you, but that was.
But this was during the game. They had, because I think it was against the White Sox team.
And
Ramirez had slid between his legs. Yes. And he was safe. And he got up, and the guy said something he didn't like. So he said something back. And the guy dropped his glove, went to like here. And he took a swing at Ramirez first. Ramirez took a couple swings and didn't miss. The other guy missed. And he went down. And he's not what it
was. That was Tom Hamilton?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, this guy was limp-sicking and really doing a fantastic job of doing so. And
they even made shirts with that. I forget the guy's name that was doing. And I guess Ramirez has said, you know, what I did was wrong. I disrespected the game, and I never mean to disrespect the game. But, you know, I had talked to that guy before the game. He says, stop disrespecting the game, because he'd been doing some stuff with saves and stuff or whatever that disrespected the game of baseball. And he truly respects the game. And he felt bad, not because of what he did, but because he disrespected baseball. That's why Ramirez felt bad.
Well, yeah, he made the slide, and then he did a rather hard tag on him after he was
after saved. He was already saved.
Yeah, and
got it all going.
Yeah. So good for the Guardians. Good for the Guardians.
Yep.
You want to talk a little bit about the Browns?
We can talk a little bit about the Browns.
I didn't see much of it. In fact, I didn't see any of it.
I watched some. I think working on my podcast at the time live, and a lot of times I put that on or the baseball game on, and I'll have the sound off. I did not have that until after the podcast, and I tuned in to the Shedeur Sanders was already out. But in a game that doesn't mean anything, against pretty much outside of the first couple of series, he faced the starters of quote unquote Carolina Panthers. Then he faced them up until into the third quarter. Then they brought in the guy they dropped several times because everybody else was injured.
Well,
except Joe Flacco, and they were not going to send Joe Flacco out there.
No. Well, Joe Flacco, and from what I understand,
he's so far ahead of the others.
Yeah, and good for Shedeur. I mean, he did what he needed to do to
when
make
he had
an
the
impression.
Opportunity to go out there.
And he was 14 of 23 for 138 yards and impressed some people. Now, that's just. These preseason games are just basically rehearsals.
Well, and to see what you have.
Yeah.
Like the Browns didn't dress any of their starters.
No.
They were on the side there in suits.
Suits?
Suits. Zoot suits, even, I think.
In that heat, they were in suits? Yeah. I should have seen that.
There you go. But they were there on the sideline and in street clothes at the very least.
Well, the next preseason game is against the Eagles, one of these combined practices. And then having, I think it's Saturday. And Flacco is not going to play there either.
No.
And you can see why. Look, they had a guy in some game preseason out for the entire season for Achilles.
Yeah.
And And why risk it for something?
It has nothing to do. I guess one of the interesting thing was during the week practice, say joint practices, is the Panther players were just amazed at the old man and what the old man could still do. Because he was out there in the practices, practicing again. They just couldn't believe it.
Joseph, the old man being Flacco.
Joe Flacco, yeah, because he's 40. Football terms, that's old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's old.
Yeah. Well, look at Aaron Rodgers, too.
Well, Aaron Rodgers turns 41 here real soon.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're in the same boat there. And it just he just said, hey, I wished I could stay out there and do more, but they didn't want me out there, so I didn't go out. But, it's my understanding it's basically the starting job against Cincinnati is his job to lose. He's got that.
Yeah, and fans are saying, oh, bring on Shedeur and they're ready to build a statue for him for a preseason game that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody's going as 100%. And the problem is you can't put a Flacco out there or even a Pickett who's injured anyway. Because here you got a free agent defensive player looking to make a name.
Right.
And he, for some reason, has a clear shot on the quarterback.
He's going to take it.
He's going to take it. And there you go, Flacco for the year. I mean, you don't do that.
Right.
And
it's during the game is one thing. If it's during a preseason, quote unquote, and technically it's a scrimmage, right? I would call it a scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
with officials.
I mean, the officials and
they score and all that.
And some games end up in ties. it's just the players learning the schemes and the guys who are on the bubble trying to make
it. The coach has seen what they have because cuts are coming soon. Cuts are coming soon.
Yeah, cold cuts.
Ham, cold cuts? Ooh.
Oh, salami.
Olive loaf? I like olive loaf.
You know, I like olive loaf too.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I like Dutch loaf too.
Wife's a big Dutch loaf fan. Yeah. Or, as some people call, old fashioned loaf.
Spam.
I like spam. Oh, spam. Yeah.
We talked about spam.
We did.
Yeah.
I think it was last week.
I don't like a liverwurst. Or Rottweiler. No. Liverwurst comes in a tube and you get it. Oh, my God. That was a Depression era. You know, my grandfather, when they didn't have much to eat, the liver was the cheapest meat, and they mixed it with some gruel or something like that, and they ate it. It's awful. It's just awful.
But when you're hungry and you don't have much choice,
You'll eat it.
You'll eat it.
But my dad liked it.
I mean, the only thing I would eat was broccoli, maybe, you know.
I guess if you're hungry enough, you'll eat
broccoli. If I'm hungry enough,
I just don't eat eggs.
I would eat broccoli.
Don't eat eggs because...
No, I don't need eggs. No. Can't have eggs. Woof.
where were we? Cuts. Oh, the cuts are coming.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're already starting maneuverings and things like that. But I was listening to The Fan, and every reporter seems to think, it's Flacco. They can say, well, the quarterback job is still up in the air. It isn't.
It is not.
It is not. The only question is, will they keep all four quarterbacks? And I don't know how they do that.
If they keep one injured, one or the other injured, they can do that. That's about the only way they can do that.
Yeah, one would have to, because you can't put one on a practice squad because, if it's Gabriel or Sanders, somebody's going to grab them off the practice squad.
Right.
So, and then if it's Kenny Pickett, that's the one most likely to be let go or traded.
Yeah.
Do you really want Flacco's backup to be a rookie? That's a question too that, the report. So it's probably going, I don't know what's going to happen.
I just keep hearing how it's doomsday for Sanders, Then he goes out and does everything they ask him to do.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think it's doomsday for Sanders. But then again, they really like Gabriel.
That's the quarterback Stefanski picked. That's the one he liked. Now, he's done nothing in this
he's hurt.
Preseason, he's but even before that, he wasn't sure.
They know. They have enough film on this guy over 6 years as
in college
to know what his talents are.
This is the guy Stefanski wanted. This is the guy he wanted.
Yeah, Sanders was somebody.
Which confused the heck out of everybody in the entire draft.
Yeah. And it's complicated him. The whole team. It's complicated the whole team. I mean, the pick who they're going to keep.
Right, because they actually, at that point, after him, the management really had no intention of going after Sanders at that point.
Yeah.
Because they had three opportunities before that.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted him because of the baggage, which is his dad.
Yes.
And that's a shame. He shouldn't judge. He must have, some guy in NFL front office really, really caused him to nosedive in the draft.
Because if he says something to other GMs.
He says, you can't pick this guy.
Yeah, stay away.
And whoever it was well respected. He says, this guy's going to carry a lot of baggage. And he was literally in the first 10 picks of the first round. And went from there to the fifth round. And the fifth round pick normally doesn't even make a team.
A lot of times they do not, yeah.
So the Browns took a ride on him, which complicated. You got Gabriel, you got Pickett, and you got Flacco. So what are you going to do? That's the biggest question. It all comes down to that. But the Browns.
I look at what Pickett has done in the past, and I'd say trade him.
I would too.
Let the rooks be there. Let them learn from it if they have to replace Joe. Let them learn from it. But let him start. Let him show them how to do it and how he can win. And then if something happens, then you've got the kids to come in. And because I think Gabriel is going to get better. Pickett's not going to get better than he already is. And he has a problem holding on to that ball. And that's the honest to goodness truth.
Yes.
And so and I've seen some Cleveland columnists say, hey, we need to start him because we actually traded for him. These other people, none of these other people we traded for. And I think, well, that's stupid. You gave up a third round draft pick for him. And I think if a team is hurting a quarterback, somebody would give at least a third round draft pick for him. So it wouldn't have cost you anything.
But they're going, if he's healthy enough, he may play against Philadelphia in the preseason game coming up. Okay. He may. And the second.
Well, what would be a reason for that?
To showcase
him. To showcase him, yeah. Absolutely.
So that he may garner some interest in being traded for at least a third round draft.
At least a third, yeah.
And who knows?
You know, maybe if they could get a second round for him for a team that's desperate.
Oh, no, they're not.
You know?
No,
but I'm just saying, if they could, they just up themselves one.
No, they're not going to get anything. They'd be lucky to get a third round pick. So... We shall see. But the reality is the Browns are not favored to do much. And this whole question about quarterback could be...
I think that's one of the things that holds them back a lot, is the whole question about the quarterback.
Yeah, but the question can be moot because if they do really bad this year and no quarterback stands out as the quarterback for the future, then we're going to be talking about a first-round pick quarterback next year for the Browns.
Right.
And it's going to more likely be a high one. And because this year's quarterback class was not a very good one.
It was not.
No. And, you know, we'll see. And it's a quarterback-driven league. And
it is.
And
look what we did last year. It's not that we didn't have a lot of same players, but we had absolutely no stability of quarterback play.
No.
No matter who they put in there.
It was
and this is the last year, probably, period, for Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And the reason he turned down more money from Las Vegas to stay here in Cleveland, because that was one of the choices they had. They were going to give him, like, a ton of money to go to Vegas, where he would be a backup. And he basically said, you know, Cleveland treated me well. They gave me a job when no one else would. They're asking for me. I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And the reality is, he knew in Cleveland he had a chance to start.
Yep.
That's the reality of why he chose Cleveland.
And that's why
any other reason.
And that's why he's starting.
Now,
if the team is going, you know, for some reason the team does well in those first 8-9 games.
Very tough schedule.
He's going to be the quarterback for the rest of the year, and the other two will learn.
Right.
I just can't see him keeping Pickett if they're going to keep the two rookies. I just can't.
Yeah,
but who am I?
Yeah, well, we have, and we don't see all the stuff. We don't know all the ins and outs of stuff. But those rookies are going to be cheaper to keep than Pickett is anyway. So, it'd be interesting. It is going to be interesting to see how it falls out as players start getting dropped off the roster.
Yeah. Well, I think we both agree that perhaps Pickett will be the one that is on.
And I feel bad for him because he knew when he got traded for, he felt, I'm going to be the starter.
Yeah. He did. But once they picked, signed Flacco, he should have known. It wasn't an open competition. Come on. But Joe didn't do well in the second half of the Colts season last year.
He did not.
And I don't know how fast the trigger will be to pull him out and give it somebody else. And the thinking of keeping Pickett is, something happens to Flacco, do you really want a Sanders or a Gabriel to be?
I would do that.
Why not?
Because I would do that because for one thing, if he's out, your season is not going to be good. Anyway, probably give them a chance to show what they can do or show what they can't do.
Yeah.
And, we already know that Pickett can be adequate, but he also can lose a lot of balls. Now let's face it, he was with the Super Bowl champs last year, and they basically traded him away for practically nothing.
Yeah. Well, look at the quarterbacks in the American Football Conference. There's some very impressive quarterbacks.
Yes, absolutely.
And even in our division, you have Joe Burrow at Cincinnati. You've got Lamar Jackson. Aaron Rodgers, you don't know what you get with him.
You don't. Actually, he played all year last year, but his team sucked canal water, shall we say.
Well, and
now he's with a team that is, shall we say, a lot more consistent team.
And competitive. So, and just in our division, we've got two really good quarterbacks, one who's probably over the hill, but still adequate, and we got Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
But in the AFC, who else you facing?
Oh, tons of them. I mean, even in the NFC, Philly's going to be right up there again.
With
Jason Hurd and Jalen Hurts. And we'll see. We'll see. How much time do we have left?
Not much.
Oh. Okay, then I won't get into the five biggest issues facing the
NFL. Well, we could do that.
We can quickly. I want to take some time.
Okay, in that case.
I mean, if you're ordering me, the admiral
of
the show.
No. I wouldn't want you to feel like you're rushed, so we won't do that.
Why? All right. There was a couple things that we have passed over the last few weeks. And I want to congratulate. We're going now from NFL football to local NCAA basketball, Akron U. John Grossi, the head coach of the University of Akron Zips team, got a significant extension and raise. He has now been extended to June 30th of 2035.
Wow.
So, and he's got a really good record of 168 wins and 88 losses in 8 seasons. He's won the MAC. Got into the NCAA tournament. So he's done a really good job here. So congratulations
Absolutely.
To him. And in this day and age, to keep a coach at a mid-conference team.
Yes.
For a guy, look at Keith Dembrot. He left, right?
Yeah, and nobody thought he was going to.
Nobody. Well,
and now he's retired. So
yeah, now he's retired. But $1 million a year at Duquesne. So, you know what? I think I like that. And I can't blame for a guy making that kind of money to leave Akron. But this guy's committed. He may make that much with all his incentives and everything, but he likes it here. And we've got a good college coach now to at least. Of course, there are always escape clauses if somebody would offer him a tremendous...
he just has to pay back a certain amount of money or something.
Yeah.
A buyout clause.
So we did talk about...
A lot of time the other college will pick that up.
Well, I just remember, who was it that we had? We had some really good coaches that went on. And I can't think of the guy's name who went to West Virginia, got fired for... being insensitive. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. He went to Cincinnati, then here, then Cincinnati, then down to West by God, Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
We don't know his name.
It's the second we don't know. I should call my brother-in-law. He knows.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That guy, he was a darn good coach. Yeah. We didn't mention who got inducted to the Hall of Fame. That was right down the street. Jared Allen, not the basketball player from the Cavaliers. Antonio Gates, a local...
He was a basketball player for Kent State.
You know, this Antonio Gates is an amazing story.
Yes.
He is the first inductee never to play college football. He was a basketball player.
Yes.
And walked on to... become a Hall of Fame basketball
player. Kenny Lofton was a basketball player, came on as a baseball player. It does happen.
And Sterling Sharp, I think that's Shannon Sharp's brother. And I think Shannon's in some trouble, but anyway. Okay. Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
I hear the music. All right. I saw a man going up a hill with a trolley full of four-leaf clovers.
Trolley, okay.
Four-leaf clovers,
okay.
Horseshoes, and rabbit's feet. I thought, wow, he's pushing his luck.
He is pushing his luck. That's it. We're going to see everyone next week right back here on Sports Sidebar.